Richard Cloutier reports on CJOB 68, the superstation.
Digvir Jayas is with the University of Manitoba. He's Associate Vice President of Research. Sean McKay is Executive Director of the Composites Innovation Center. Don Boydson is General Manager of Bristol Aerospace Limited. They all join us on CJOB 68. The Composites Innovation Center, what is it, how long has it been up, and what do you folks do?
Composites Innovation Center is a not-for-profit corporation that assists the industry in developing and commercializing composite materials and technologies. We've been around since 2003, and we work with local industry to implement new products, new processes, to improve their increase their sales, improve their business opportunities.
Don, what are we talking about when we say composites? Most people can identify it through a composite hockey stick, but what is it? What goes into that hockey stick?
Right. Well, the composite material itself has a wide range, and it could vary from fiberglass, which is what, you know, one of the common uses that we would see, right up through Kevlar, which we hear a lot about in things. It's very strong and lightweight, and right up to graphite materials, and it's bonded with usually a honeycomb core to make it lightweight but very strong and very durable.
And I gather sometimes, Digvir, that that's been a trial and error process as far as what composites work, which ones don't?
Yeah, it's a trial and error, but I would say more well thought out process from the research and development side. And that's why I think the unique aspect of the CIC is because it brings the industry, university, and government together to work together in a collaborative fashion to do the cutting-edge research, but at the same time take the product so that industry could use. So demonstration as well as research go simultaneously.
So give us an example then, Sean, of some of the cutting-edge research we're doing here right in our own backyard.
One of them is the use of natural fiber products to make composites. We take flax and hemp fibers off the field and combine them in a mat form and use them for making bus parts. We're currently in the national.
So from
activity.
Field, from the field to the bus.
We take them from the field, and we're developing products that we can natural fibers to use in bus parts.
That's fascinating, and you know, and I'm a little bit surprised by this. How do you take something like that from a farmer's field and ended up being as a part of a transit bus? Explain that process for us.
Well, what you have to do is really understand the material, the products or the materials coming off the field and be able to take them off the field appropriately. For example, take the stem of a flax plant, chop it up or harvest it appropriately so you've got a certain length to it, then remove the fiber from the stem, take those fibers, put them into a mat form, drop it into a mold, and then if you put it, apply some resin to it, and there you go. You end up with a bus part.
And I'm startled by this. A lot of, because you're mixing it with another material, where does it gain its strength?
The fibers themselves are fairly strong, and but the resin is used to bind them together, to bind the fibers together to make the end product.
So what kind of bus parts are we talking about here?
Talking generally ducts, luggage, interior door panels, and we hopefully will develop a greater fiber that will be able to make exterior bus parts such as the front cap, rear cap, baggage doors.
And the advantage of doing this is what?
I think threefold. One is lighter weight, two is lower cost, and three is we're trying to build a sustainable product so that it's environmentally friendly.
Digvir, who's the competition here? You know, we always say made in Manitoba, but in many ways we're competing with a whole other lot of jurisdictions for this, are we not?
Yes, the competition, I think from a research point of view, I would say not so much in Canada, but certainly in the Europe. Like Europe has been in the bioproducts area, I would say, certainly over a decade. And some of the cars there have even the panels, which we are talking about for the bus manufacturing here, already in use, some of the high-end cars. But within Canada, certainly we have the competition from other universities, because most of the universities are trying to get into this. But the one advantage Manitoba has, especially when we go into the bioproducts or biofibers area, you have to produce that biomass. So this is an example. This cannot be done in Toronto because the biomaterial can only be produced on the farm, and you have to have access to the vast lands. So we do have that advantage, and that would be the prairie advantage. So certainly in the bioproducts area, I think the prairies have advantage, and it would have a chances of revitalization of the rural communities.
So for the farmer, where can he get more money from? From the bus parts, or can he get it through the traditional means? What's it going to mean for that end?
The farmers, I think, has a potential to gain, and I would give you an example. I think with the ethanol industry going, and as the ethanol production started going up in the U.S., the corn prices have doubled. So similar thing would happen here is, like, if the demand for the biofibers increases, then the farmers would be producing a biofiber of a particular characteristics which could be used in the making of the bioproducts. Then their income would go up because they are now developing this producing the biofiber for the under contract.
Where are we in this stage in this process? Are we still at the research stage, or are we now at the stage where it's being manufactured?
Let me tell you that we're at the development phase at the moment. We are manufacturing trial mats. We are putting them together with resins and doing some initial testing. We hope to have a bus or a pod on a bus running around the city by March of 2008.
Don, tell us where Bristol Aerospace comes in here as part of Magellan Aerospace Corporation, a multinational here. Where do you folks come in on this?
Right. Well, the third part of this collaboration is obviously with industry, and we have a very strong aerospace industry here in Manitoba, and it is growing. It's ranked third in the country, and we have a number of high-tech engineers, technologists, and workers that have been working with composite materials for over 30 years here in Manitoba. So what we are doing from the industry side, looking at collaboration, is taking it to the not only first and second generation materials, which we started out, but into the more complex materials, more complex fibers for the aerospace perspective. And that's where teaming with, again, the university here and the CIC, we get the benefits of the engineers and technologists allowing us to advance in those areas. And we do export 85 to 95% of our product, and we are competing worldwide. So it's very important to have that technology edge and gain in processes and materials.
When we come back on CJOB 68 with our panel, what does this mean for the future of your son or daughter who's going to university, going to college here, but you fear that they're going to leave this province for somewhere else? Are these high-paying jobs? Is this research going to keep young people here in Manitoba? More as we continue this Tuesday morning on CJOB 68.